Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
This is absolutely a leap into nothingness. A leap into, frankly, the abyss, the fear. I am sitting here broadcasting to you today from a place that I don't know where we'll go. I'm really not sure. But I feel compelled to do this for a number of reasons. Now, I've come on this show a lot, and I've talked about how, what is even, I question myself all the time, right? I say, oh, what is the purpose of this show? What am I trying to accomplish here? Why talk to these people that are so, so out there, not grounded in reality? And how does that add anything to the world? What's the tangible value? A lot of questions. This might just be a series of self-examination episodes. I'm not sure. I mean, even as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm aware that the way I'm coming across is very broadcast central, right? I'm articulating my words. I'm making sure that you can hear everything I'm saying. And at the same time, there's the inner voice that's going, is this even good enough? Do you care? Do I care? You know, when I started Open Loops, I really wanted to do this mainly as a forum for sharing the things that I was learning about the world and an opportunity to learn more. That was the vision. How can I make a life based around my learning? And I was told by my coach at the time, Spencer Burnett, you've got a voice, you have a perspective on things, learn, teach the people, people will listen. Well, I did do that at first, and then I strayed a little bit, went into a very exclusive interview kind of mode, and I've been loving the interviews. Look, don't get me wrong. These people I talk to are amazing. I am honored that certain people who have come on my show that have done hundreds of podcasts say, oh, this is my favorite one I've ever done, or I've never shared this story before, or, you know, and clearly that is, well, it's validation, so cash that check. Yes. Don't need a holiday bonus this year. No one's giving you that, but will the boss give you a little extra validation if you've been behaving? Maybe. Ask him for some validation, because guess what? That comes free. Essentially, though, we are at a place now where I sit back and I reflect on the show. Actually, all I do is reflect on the show. And in even the past couple months, I've been sitting with myself and going, oh, gosh, do I want this anymore? I mean, what was even the intent? What was even the purpose? I how I started this show. And in a way, it's kind of been a spiritual journey. And this is, by the way, this is not the end of Open Loops. If you were absolutely sitting here listening to this and excited, you sickos, I got trolls out there that want to listen to me announce the ending of the show. What's wrong with you? And then, you know, the people that are actually sad about it, well, don't worry, it's not the end. Maybe it's a new beginning. I'm not sure. But there's something to be said about, well, look, let's go with the interview I did last. Kenneth Hopkins. Now, this is a guy that delved right in. I mean, this is, he started the interview by saying that the lizard people were in charge of the bank system, and that's why they're ruining everything. Now, some of my friends have heard me rant about this recently, but I want to break this down here. I very much found that interview fascinating, mostly his romantic encounters, just because, look, that kind of humanizes the experience. And that was one of the early things I found interesting, right? I wanted to know about the weird experiences from normal people and the normal experiences from weird people, because that is the other side. That is the unconscious. We're bringing what's not seen to light in a way that might provoke thought, might provoke more further discussion, might provoke more interest, open new doors. I still love that. I really do. And I also know that, to me, my favorite interviews on this show, my favorite discussions, are the things that, well, it's the hypnotic principle. In hypnosis, we talk about pacing and leading. Now, if I am going to get you to see my way of reality, see my view, I mean, this is even classic cold call methodology. I mean, if you're doing cold calls and someone says, you know, hey, I'm sorry, I'm in a meeting right now, I'm in the middle of a meeting, you're much better off not saying, okay, look, I'll talk to you real quick, is that okay? You're better off going, yeah, you know what, actually, I'm in the middle of a meeting too. Can I just talk to you for 30 seconds? Now, look, that might be a lie, and it is, but even that allows you to be in the same place. I mean, they have mirror neurons, you know, the stuff that neurolinguistic programming and hypnosis and body language experts were talking about hypothetically, theoretically for years, has absolutely been validated by science. We have mirror neurons. This is how we learn. So the ability to access those neurons and or at least the principles, the neurology of interpersonal dynamics and leverage that for your advantage is something that you should absolutely take advantage of if you want to be influential, to make powerful communication. Obviously, now, look, you can be led astray with this. Many people do this all the time. This is what the narcissists are really good at, doing this by accident. You know, it's just that their wiring, it makes it so that they unconsciously are able to penetrate your psyche and then lead you astray. But when it comes to building a relationship, when it comes to getting an idea across, you are so much better off being like, well, look, you're listening to my voice now. You've got headphones in, or you don't have headphones in, and you're listening to each word. And as you do, you're probably wondering, what weird thing is he going to say next? Now, that is me pacing your reality. That is meeting you where you're at and adding a little bit of what weird thing at the end, right? I'm building off of the existing situation, meeting you where you're at, and then leading you slightly askew. This is the art of persuasion. You know, I was watching a video recently from James Tripp as part of his Nexus program, this program about creating your life and living the life as a creative force. And he talked about something that it didn't really make a lot of sense to me, or at least I didn't really think about why this principle for affirmations is, this is the difference between somebody that's able to affirm a positive thing for themselves and someone that's not. And it's this. When you say, if you're not a confident person, and you say, I am confident, and you look in the mirror and you say that over and over, it can be too much of a leap. It can be too much of a gap in your system for you to possibly believe it. I mean, James Tripp talks about this too in his Hypnosis Without Trance model. And this is really part of every hypnosis model, the idea that you have to take people through a ladder. You have to move them gradually from where they are to where they want to be. You're so much better starting from, I'm really not confident in this situation, to, I'm not always as confident as I want to be in this situation. And then gradually stepping and stepping and stepping till you get there, because that's more believable for the way your mind works. You're pacing yourself, and then yourself leading. Now, getting back to Kenneth, that was very much not a well-paced interview for a number of reasons. One, he just goes right into it. I mean, and look, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with people jumping all the way in, all the way deep, if you can Tarantino this thing and go backwards to get back to the loop. You start at the end, you get back to the beginning. I'm okay with that. But the thing is, and you heard me ask him, well, what do you do with skeptics? What about people that are non-believers? He said, well, I don't deal with non-believers. And you know what, dear listener? Yes, you. I'd call you by your first name, but I want to respect the nature of this dynamic we currently share together. You have to understand, I take responsibility for not fully briefing this fella on the type of show that I want to do. Because I will say that while some of you out there may be fully on board with someone that has had multiple ET experiences and continues to be abducted and has just had lifelong intimate contacts with extraterrestrial life, a lot of this show, remember, is supposed to be a bridge. It's to challenge your existing belief systems with radically unique ideas. Now, these are radically unique ideas, but there's no belief system being challenged except I live in a paradigm where this is not even a reality. There's no actual challenge to it. See, I'm into, and that's what this was about, right? This is about the intellectual escapism. How can we, using our intellects, go off into a place that is greater than we even imagine possible? Using our minds. And it's, look, intellect is a bit of a misnomer, because if you're a hypnotist, you know that sometimes you don't just speak to the mind. You speak to the heart. You speak to the body as well. Because that is whole consciousness. It's embodied consciousness. You don't just wake up in your head. It is a experiential thing. But for the purposes of this show, where it is a dialogue, and we're talking about mind-bending, we have to accept where a lot of your minds are at and where my mind is at, which is this default line that ETs may or may not exist. Therefore, it needs to be walked back. Now, that's always... look, I mean, it's been a struggle with this show over the past 2 years. Sometimes people have experiences, and all you can do is kind of sit there and work epistemologically. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like my use of that word. Around their beliefs to see why they believe what they do, how they believe it, what their brain processes, the unique neurological experience that they're going through, and how contextually, within the context of their life, whether it's, you know, their work life, their romantic life, social health, physical well-being, whatever it is, these experiences fit in. They're anomalous experiences, but if you're telling me that this person really have a healthy, healthy life situation, I know people are more skeptical. I know people are more likely to say, well, this is clearly delusion. I don't always think it is. I mean, you know, John Mack is the guy, right? This Harvard-trained psychiatrist that brought up many times in this show, but for those that don't know, he interviewed a lot of alien abductees and couldn't conclude that it was a pathology. So what is it? Why do so many people all over the world, hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands, talk about these anomalous events? But we don't bring it up because it's what, quote-unquote, primitive thinking? Again, I'm not one for reduction. But at the same time, I love having my foundation slowly taken apart from under me. I mean, those are my favorite kind of conversations. Conversations that, and I suppose, well, that's what conspiracy theories do well. The ones that used to pull me in, well, sometimes the ones still do that are out there, but, you know, you're not really supposed to be into conspiracy theories these days because, you know, well, I don't know if you noticed what happened when people got into them last time around this year. The conspiracy theory is interesting because, and it plays with the intellectual dynamic of theorizing and abstract thought in general. This notion of pattern seeking that we love, coming up with a grand unifying idea about a series of disparate events that likely probably isn't what's going on, though I'm sure there's a little bit of truth somewhere in there. But when you start delving into things, let's take the classic Denver airport as an example. This Denver airport conspiracy where there are murals with kids with masks on their faces from all over the world. There's a gargoyle statue above the baggage claim. There's a giant blue horse with red demon eyes outside this airport. There's people say there's a swastika in the way that the runway is laid out if you look at it from above. And then you start digging into some other things. For instance, a lot of the contractors on this airport were brought in from different organizations, almost like the way Walt Disney bought land to create Disney World secretly in the 70s. Different contractors started on the project and then ended randomly. There were talks about building this airport for a long time, but it makes no sense because there's already a functioning airport in Denver, so people weren't really sure why it needed to be there. There's coincidence with, I guess there's some military base in the mountains somewhere that people say may be a place where they could have potentially stored some E.T. craft. There's a whole theory that there are underground tunnels in this airport where there are either trafficked children, classically, or it's another Area 51. Now, even by me suggesting this to you, I'm grabbing something that you normally experience. This airport, probably have been to the Denver airport, many of you, if you've gone to Colorado in your lifetime. And you've probably even noticed how large the airport is. And maybe you've seen photos of some of the murals there from the past. And now you're going to start maybe digging into some articles and looking into things and start looking at various UFO pieces associated with Denver. Is there a connection to the military and this airport? Is there shady stuff around the actual building of it? I have to tell you, there is. Does that mean a conspiracy is afoot? I just don't know. However, I want the guest on this show to build the case. Or at the very least, take me down the rabbit hole of starting to build new pathways in my mind of where the impossible could be. That's what's interesting. And I know I'm not always going to get it. Again, not everything. I kind of break it down this way. There's a difference between a mind-bending movie, i.e. a Christopher Nolan or David Lynch, these kind of movies that get surreal, they break away from reality, versus science fiction, which is just all in. You know, some people talk about the secret space programs. They're talking about their time on Mars, and they're going with aliens and blah, blah, blah. They're not, you know, if you'll notice in those interviews, I'm always trying to go, okay, well, what was the first experience? How'd you get there? What is the ladder to impossibility? From intellectual to escapist. And I'm going to try to do that more. I mean, you know I challenge people on the show. Maybe I haven't challenged people enough. And again, I apologize if you're ever sitting there going, oh, but this person just said something crazy, and Greg just went, yeah, wow, interesting, okay, huh. You know, you got to be polite, right? I know some of these people are making it up. There's no question. Or none of them are making it up, and my brain just hasn't ascended to that level of consciousness yet. But I doubt it, because people make up things. Of course. And even these life coaches, I'm going to start having some more coaches on soon. But I was going to say these people that, you know, profess to be a spiritual life coach. They're just life coaching. Some of them, they use the spiritual jargon, but they're just, I know they are. In the same way that, you know, I'm not even sure astrology isn't a conspiracy like thinking at some level. You're piecing together patterns. But that's kind of what's fun about life. It is fun. See, I look at this as a creative act. That's what Open Loops is. It's taking you down different reality tunnels, different trances, if you will. I mean, this is the principle of hypnosis, right? We are filling in the gaps. This is why everything is hypnosis. That's really the underlying thing of this show, if we really think about it, that everything is hypnosis, or everything great could be hypnosis, because when you start with the Denver airport, and then you start talking about the contractors, and then you start looking at the military, and then you start looking at the art, you're moving from pacing into leading with disparate ideas that aren't fully resolved, i.e. open loops, and your brain starts filling in the gaps with imagination. That's trance. Your brain automatically creates trance without you even knowing. It's the same thing when you watch a movie. You watch the scene, you see the couple sitting at the table, you're looking at the cafe. You don't know the story of the other people sitting around at the cafe. You don't know the life story of the waiter. And yet, your brain is filling it in for you as you're being pulled into the world of the two main characters. And it's not even filling it in consciously, it's unconsciously. The hypnotist hijacks and I'm using a scary word there, but not even hijack, but skillfully leverages your unconscious and its ability to fill in the blanks and a way to guide you into new places. But at the same time, I can't just say, you're now floating in space. I have to gently lead you there. The best episodes of Open Loops have been hypnotic trances. There's no question. I'm looking for the trance, man. I'm just looking for the trance. So, as we keep journeying on the show together and I continue the book Secret Space Program Survivors and Time Travelers and Death Doulas, Manifestation, Spiritual Healers, all these people that, in one way, their foot's in this reality, but on the other hand, they're in another, I'm going to really make sure that we can bridge the gap as much as I can. I'm more aware of why some of the episodes that I haven't felt as good about haven't felt as good, because there is this missing piece, which is the actual bending of reality. You just have to start with reality first. Now, that said, here's what I will say to you. I still have some great stuff in the pipeline here. I mean, I've got some, I think people want the second half of the Michael McIntosh interview, which, hey, talk about reality breaking. I mean, look, sometimes you got to hear people's perspective in such an outlandish way that it smacks you in a different way of trance. You know, you can, I wouldn't want to do this all the time because then it would just be pure fiction, but there's something called the shock induction in hypnosis, which essentially means that I could, if you're primed for it, just say sleep, and you go into an unconscious state, not unconscious, but you go into a trance-like state where your unconscious is primary. If you go into an unconscious state, that probably is because I literally smacked you. But no. I mean, and if you know me personally, physical aggression is really not part of my DNA. But in terms of getting you to a place where you see the possibilities, I mean, you know, you don't, yes, you can step from the real world into a nightclub, but if the nightclub is dazzling enough, if there's enough spectacle, you're pulled in there. I mean, sometimes you can be transported to a new world instantly. So I understand, sometimes the bridge isn't there, but I want the bridge to be there. I mean, that's what my goal is in this show. I can't, as much as I can immerse myself in some of this material, if I don't have the walkway, it doesn't do it for me. Now, I see the other side of this too, where one could go, well, Greg, what about faith? Well, what about faith? I don't know. I just don't know the answer. You know, I even when I started this, I didn't think it would be as compelling an episode to record as it is, but I suppose I had a little faith that it would work out, and I think so far, I've enjoyed talking about the things I've talked about. But does that mean that all of a sudden if I surrendered to this idea of a higher intelligence, then maybe I would all of a sudden understand angels that people see? I'm not sure. And in a weird way, I mean, I guess I'm hoping for someone to come on to convince me that it's worth trying. I know how intellectually limiting that sounds. I get it. I'm coming from a materialist paradigm, in a way, a rationalist paradigm that says, well, you know, if I just surrender, like, what's going to be the point? Is anything going to happen? That's not how it works. You really have to take the leap, or you have to hit rock bottom, and that's all you have. But I suppose I haven't hit rock bottom yet, though. You know, 27 minutes ago, when I started this podcast, I may have been in a pretty low place. But I am curious. I am curious if maybe that's something that really is my next step. It's an experiment in faith. I'll tell you one thing I'm experimenting right now. I have just purchased a new Casina Mind Machine from Mind Place. It's a company, I believe they're out of Florida. They make these light and sound machines. And look, altered states of consciousness is really what I've been talking about the whole episode, in a way. It doesn't mean you're always altered when you're experiencing something abnormal, but this way of experiencing the world through a more mindful lens, through a more associated, dissociated, slightly a love trance, a happy trance, a lucky trance, a sad trance, all the trances, I've been fascinated with it for a while. And what a light and sound machine does is through these things called GANS frames, you keep your eyes closed. I actually bought two versions. There was a package deal where you could get the ones where you could keep your eyes open, but right now I prefer the ones with your eyes closed. Basically, there are some blinking LED lights that are synced up with audio tracks that, they're designed to stimulate something in your head. When your eyes are closed, the blinking lights blink in a combination that supposedly syncs up with brainwave states that allow you to alter yourself, alter your sense of reality. And I am doing the 30-day challenge to see if I can use this thing every day and get some effects, because supposedly, this is the advertising copy, right? A Tibetan monk meditates 40 years, but all you need to do is put this on for 5 minutes and you'll get into the same place. Look, it's a big promise, and I will say I've had a good time so far. I mean, day two has passed, I suppose, at this point, and I've done the energized one in the morning, definitely gave me a buzz, and then the relaxed one. Now, what always happens is I put it on, I lay down, and it really, after a while, I just kind of trance in and out. I'm in this hypnagogic state, as they say, and I'm dreaming and I'm not dreaming, and it's very, I mean, look, if you ever wanted to know what hypnosis feels like, or just being in this half dream, half awake place, this machine does it like none other. And it's very cool that this 30-day program, they have the energizing session in the morning, a relaxed one in the afternoon that's meditating, and then they have the night sessions. They even have some mind art in there, which is super cool. The way the lights blink, it's almost like fireworks for your inner mind that also happens to be stimulating brainwave state. So, hey, if you're interested in that kind of thing, I mean, I will, I'll put the link in the show notes. You should try it out. But will this be one of 30 days of me telling you about this experience? Maybe. If there's demand for it, do people want that? People want to hear me just go on and on about my latest thoughts about reality and moving through things and building a life? I mean, I haven't even gone into my personal stuff yet and my questions about my career and relationships and all this stuff. People might want that. I don't know. I'm having a lot of open loops about these things. Very curious. Look, if you like this podcast, again, I really appreciate if you subscribe on Apple or Spotify. And if you could rate the show, leave a review. Just go to ratethispodcast.com/openloops. We're going to have a lot more interviews coming up soon. I just needed to start with this episode again as we're moving into the holiday season, because I don't know, things have been feeling weird lately, and I've been feeling weird about the show, and I think I have the explanation, which is we may have gone a little too deep. We're professionals here. But yes, I think that we can bridge the gap. I think we can create the stepping stones for people to explore, expand. I mean, this is about mind expansion. Can't start at expansion. You have to start at mind. So let me know when you hear one. If you want to hear more about anything in particular, and you know, I love hypnosis. I've got a bunch of these hypnosis episodes in the backlog that I haven't put out yet because I wanted to do. I can't speak. I wanted to do a. These are the things that a proper show might edit out. Proper show. I wanted to do like another AlterCon. Altered State of Consciousness convention with some of my people. Anthony Jaquin, Jess Marion, I have an interview. Matteo Morelli, who's a great covert hypnotist. Great interviews that I haven't put out to the public yet. And it's almost been over a year since I interviewed Anthony Jaquin, so a little ashamed about that, but I've been just waiting for the... It hasn't felt right. I don't know why. Do you want to hear those? Let me know. Follow me at the Greg Bornstein on Instagram. Send me DMs. You know I love those. At the Greg Bornstein on Instagram. Other than that, hey, look, maybe I'll do another episode. Maybe I'll put out another one for Friday. Maybe I won't. I don't know. This is like an experimental time where we're re-examining. This could be the Phoenix times of open loops. I just wanted to talk about this and my new understanding of the show, and I wanted to address you directly, Barbara. See, that was just good for one person named Barbara. Hey, and for the rest of you, but especially you, have a wonderful holiday season as we continue to go through all of this. And we have some really excited stuff coming up, really exciting. There are still too many loops that are unopened, that have to be opened. And I'm going to do it with you all. Talk soon.